Well, during this series of looking at encounters with Jesus, where grace is awake and in people that he encounters, on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to pause and to share some things about the Spirit, but also initially to reflect upon a few of the disciples. And I will do that shortly. Way back when we were much younger, on the 21st of December 1605, there was a Portuguese explorer. And it's the thing, folks, back 1600s, there were Dutch explorers floating around a place, off the Western Australia coast, all sorts of places. But anyway, back in 1605, 21st of December, Portuguese explorer named Pedro Ferdinand de Quiros set sail from Western Peru in search of a terra australis, a southern land, which he called Australia del Espirito Santo, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. He reached the New Hebrides and thought that was the place. He thought that was what we call the Australian coast, and he named it that, Estero del Espirito Santo, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't here. It was at the New Hebrides. The great south land of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we hear the story of the infant church being empowered to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, empowered to carry out the ministry and mission of Christ. And here, awestruck followers of Jesus are given that which they need to continue that mission. And they were a bit of a motley bunch. All of this takes place at the initiative of God. And again, as you look at this, we've looked at Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, and the disciples. And we think about, just pause for a moment to think about who these are that are gathered here in this upper room and what's happened for them over the last 60 days. We've got Peter, who's there. And after Easter, we looked at one of these encounters between Jesus and Peter in the resurrection appearances, where he restores Peter. He assures him of his forgiveness in that sense, for Peter is the one who has denied him. This Peter is in this room on Pentecost. We think of Thomas, who, on that Easter day again says, there's no way I'm believing this stuff that you disciples are telling me about the risen Jesus unless I see him. This Thomas is there. James and John, who earlier on in the ministry of Jesus are walking along the road with him, and they approach Jesus and says, look, we've got this request of you, Jesus. When you come into your kingdom, can we sit on your left and your right? And Jesus has a few words with them. We'll put it that way. Okay. This James and John are up here. Okay. And again, when we think about encounters with Jesus, where grace awakened, again we're reminded this is completely and utterly at the initiative of God. And upon these bunch of, as I said, this motley bunch of bewildered disciples who have let Jesus down, who have run from him, but somehow they've hung in there. 11 of them and many of the other followers, there's a whole bunch of them that are gathered here on this day in Pentecost, but they're still there. They've hung in there, and they've hung onto something of the promise that Jesus made to them, that this day would come when they would be given the power that they needed to continue the mission and the ministry of Christ. And here it is taking place. This is not the first appearance of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we recognise that. And this morning as I share these things, I'll keep it relatively brief in many ways, but it's not the first appearance. Let me just get my other notes here. That the Pentecost is more than just a single day. It's ushering in an era or a new chapter of a story that started long, long ago. It's new, yes, but it's not something new completely. That we go back to Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters in that act of creation that Genesis 1 tells us about. Throughout the Old Testament, there's particular times when the Spirit comes upon, particularly the prophets. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and told me, dot, dot, dot. That the Spirit of God has been there since the beginning. And there's a particular way that the Spirit comes now, but it's really important that we acknowledge that this is not the first appearance. The Spirit was present at the beginning of all things. There's particular people who are for special tasks throughout the Old Testament. And then here in the book of Acts, in a special way, the Spirit is present empowering the disciples of Christ. So Pentecost is more than just this one day. The Holy Spirit was not an absentee up to the time of this lively day of Pentecost. All things have been and are sustained by God's Spirit. There's never been a place or a time when the Spirit has been absent. The Spirit is the nurturing power that enables all things to become. I read some verses from Psalm 104 at the start, and later on in the psalm it says that if God withdraws the divine breath, the Spirit of God, all returns to dust. If God breathes out the divine breath, all things exist. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, verse 30 says, and you renew the face of the ground. God, through the Spirit, empowers God's people to carry out the mission of God. Sorry, I should have done that. What's my next slide? No, there we go. And as I said earlier on, they heard the message in their own language. And there's this list of places that people come from. The disciples are gathered there in the upper room, and there's this rushing sound of wind, and these little tongues of fire settle on them individually, but it's to the church, these Christians in community, that this comes. And then they go outside and they're accused of being drunk. You know, Peter says, well, hang on, folks, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That's not what's happening. What's happening is what the prophet Joel spoke about. And they were the verses that Apichat and Rosemary read. Where Peter steps up to the plate and says, well, no, folks, what this is about is what God said through the prophet Joel would happen. That there would be a day that would come when the Spirit would come and that people would dream dreams, see visions, all kind of things would happen. And they heard this in their own language. Peter was emboldened to do this. There were people from all over the place. And basically all these lists of names, in essence, what's that saying? Is that there were people there from all the known world. That's in essence what it's saying. And they hear it spoken in their own language from all the people, the disciples and followers of Jesus who are touched by the Spirit that day as they speak these words. There are other places in the New Testament that talk about the work of the Spirit. There's various gifts that were given for certain things upon certain people, teaching, evangelists, all sorts of things. There's also the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, patience, kindness, self-control. The Spirit's also described, particularly on the lips of Jesus, as advocate, comforter, and counselor. And I was listening to some some reflection on this by Tyler Staton, who's a pastor in Portland and Oregon. And these are three words that's really important for him. And it got me thinking a little bit, bit more about the work of the Spirit and how significant these three things are. An advocate, a comforter, and a counselor. An advocate, someone who speaks up for you. A comforter is someone who assures you that they are with you in a moment of deep need. And a counselor is someone who offers a word of advice or wisdom or helps to draw that out of you, the way that you need to respond to something. Counselor. And certainly for us, there's lots of, and particularly for focusing on the word comforter, you know, there's lots of things that happen for us where we need to draw on the Holy Spirit as comforter and be reassured of the presence of the Spirit with us. The presence of the Spirit with us, and to believe that that's the case, that God is present with us in those moments of deep need. I want to just draw things to a close, and this morning I've just tried to draw in a whole bunch of things that have been a bit all over the place. But to assure us that the work of the Spirit continues and that what we read in Acts chapter 2 is but one experience of that. A very significant experience of where the Spirit became present in a particular way. Reverend David Beswick, on his some of his resources that he offers for this day, and I can't remember if he actually wrote this or whether he drew it from someone else, but there's this comparison of life without the Holy Spirit and life with the Holy Spirit. And I want to just read this. And I think for me it was really helpful to hear this and to recognize what the work of the Spirit means for us here and now. Without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is a dead letter. The church is simply an organization. Authority is a matter of domination, and mission is a matter of propaganda. The liturgical services within the life of the church are no more than a reminder of the past, and Christian living is a slave morality. But with the Holy Spirit, God is with us. The universe is resurrected and groans with the birth pangs of the kingdom. The risen Christ is here. The gospel is the power of life. The church is an organism. It's the body of the living Christ. With this Holy Spirit, authority is service. Mission is Pentecost. The liturgy of the church is both memorial, remembering, but also an anticipation of God's presence with us. And that Christian living is God at work in this world. Life with the Spirit. Let us pray. Lord our God, I pray that somehow in the midst of all of those different thoughts and connections with your Holy Spirit, that you'll help us to focus on that which is most important for us today. In being able to be aware of the way that you continue to move amongst us through your Spirit, to be alert to your presence, and to dare to open ourselves up to what you are wanting of us in and through Christ our Lord. Amen.